You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways, fame made me a balloon.
Good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network, your home for it. So ought to be a fun morning. Carl Marlantis is going to join us. So excited about that. Carl, the recipient of the Navy Cross as a first lieutenant in Vietnam, fighting in the I think they're called the Central Highlands. They're in the northern end of North Vietnam. I'm sorry, of South Vietnam, but in terms of Vietnam proper, they're the mountains of the Central Highlands. I believe that's how they were referred to. Anyway, Carl has written a couple books about, and he's been a friend of All Marine Radio here for the last, I think, year or so. But the first book that he wrote was Matterhorn, a novel based on his experience. And prominent in that theme, in the book, is this theme of race. So on the heels of Dr. King's birthday, we've been kind of taking a look at how did the Marine Corps deal with race. And so as a first lieutenant, he dealt with it. So we're going to talk to him about that today. We'll also talk to him. It's been a while since we've spoken to him. So we'll also talk to him about after seeing and being so prominent in Ken Burns' documentary, what kind of feedback has he got? What are his thoughts relative to it? And so I'm curious to catch up with Carl and talk to him about those twin themes. Also, 50 years ago, the Battle of Khe Sanh commences. So we've been fortunate here at All Marine Radio to meet some of the guys who fought at Khe Sanh and what they endured for 77 days. So 50 years ago, seems like, I'm sure for them, seems like forever. But I want to play for you, in my opinion, one of the most riveting pieces of audio from Ken Rogers from his documentary called Bravo. So and it has to do with towards the end of the battle, but I would tell you it's spellbinding in terms of what you see, the vivid recollection of the Marine involved in it, and it has to do when they towards the end of the battle they go out and they start cleaning up. And they go into a trench line where the NVA were. And the vivid nature of the recollection when you watch it in video, and it is absolutely incredible. So I want to play, I may play a little bit of that. I may play a little bit of that for you this morning. So I've got to find the right spot in the audio to go ahead and do it. But if I can find it, I will certainly play it, because it is it's amazing. So we commemorate 50 years ago the beginning of a battle that that these guys fought. The other thing that you'll notice if you ever do watch, if you ever do watch it, and I believe this is them talking about this particular incident that I'm talking about, and this is the particular, not this guy right here, but the next voice you'll hear.
Reality sunk into me. I mean, I don't know what I thought I was doing out there. I mean, this wasn't a Sunday picnic, but it didn't really hit me that we were. This was going to be a major encounter, a major battle, and I, you know, my heart just sunk in my throat. I mean, it really did. I said to the captain when he gave me the order, and I said, "Do what?" And he said, "Be advised to fix bayonets." One of the platoon radio operators came back to me and said, "Do what?" Same thing I said to him. I said,
the company commander is a guy named Ken Pipes. He lives not too far from me here in Southern California. And I'm still negotiating with him to come on the program. He's a bit reluctant.
Be advised to fix bayonets.
That was something that just took me totally back, and I'm like, fix bayonets?
Yeah. So this is towards the end of the battle, and now they've hammered the NVA around them, and now they're going out and they're gonna clean some of this stuff. And so this is one of the stories, and it's riveting.
No, I mean, that just brought instant pictures of hand to hand combat. You know, so I can just remember telling the guys in the squad, okay, everybody fix bayonets, and everybody else done the same thing. You're like, what? But it's funny now, but it wasn't then.
All of us knew one day we'd go back out there.
This is a guy named Peter Weiss. He was a lieutenant in Vietnam, second lieutenant.
And clean up what we had to do.
Lieutenant Weiss called me up and he says, "Mac, you know, fix bayonets." I said, "Oh man, fix bayonets." At this time, I'm saying, "This is the real deal, man." So I told the rest of the guys, "Fix bayonets," and I could see on their faces what it must have looked on me, because this is not good.
The order came back.
Fix bayonets, that's some serious shit, huh?
Fix bayonets. And that's what everybody knew. This deal was on. It was now.
And then I started looking around, and I was seeing these Marines taking bayonets out of their backpacks, out of their past leg, wherever they, on their cartridge belt, wherever they had them, putting them on the end of their rifle. And then again, I thought to myself, this is the real McCoy. It finally hit me. I may not come back from this day.
Our platoon, 2nd platoon, went out of the wire first, ahead of the company, and we set up.
So this is the documentary Bravo, and I would tell you, if I don't come on here telling you to buy too many things, but it's the veterans of Quezon, Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines, and it's crazy because they're all 18 and 19. Yeah, 18. Yeah, so that means they either enlisted early, they got out of high school, and then went straight to Vietnam. But these guys are all young guys. And this is their story.
A point where...
I just want you to hear a snippet of the guy that I'm looking for, and he's coming up here in a minute, I think.
The rest of the company could come and pass through us. And then the 1st and the 3rd platoons came out and swept through our position.
And once we started going, there was no walking. All of a sudden, it was an all-out assault, and we started running. Well, not carrying a radio with an extra 25 pounds on your back, I was really, I will admit, I was huffing and puffing. But I had to stay up with the skipper because I was his line of communication.
I can't believe we made it out through the line.
This is the guy. So I want you to hear just a few seconds of his, and then we'll come back to it later. He doesn't look at the camera. He's kind of looking at the ground in front of him.
Through the canyons and valleys and came up on that ridge where the bodies were at, and it was very, very, very foggy, heavy fog, still not quite light. We were supposed to have helicopter an aircraft cover, and it was too heavy in fog to give us any cover.
We started the advance.
So that guy, they described this attack, and again, I take it back. When they say we knew we were going to go out there, there was a patrol that's called, for these guys, it's called, I think they call it either the Ghost Patrol or the Lost Patrol. I want to say it was 50-plus Marines that went out, and only two or three of them came back. They were ambushed. Their reconnaissance and their ISR, right? They didn't have drones at the time. And so based on the intelligent picture that they had in front of them, Captain Pipes sent out a pretty heavy patrol. And they got hit by two battalions, estimated. And they were annihilated. And so the bodies had stayed out there. Yeah. And so when they say we knew we were going to go back out there, and I think he just, the one guy had said, the where the bodies were, the hill where the bodies were. So that's the reference. So you're going to hear more of that. We'll get to the news pretty quick. Yeah, there's not. Government shutdown, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that I need to say that too much. That what I said last week, and nothing's changed, is, you know, people look at Donald Trump and they wonder how he got elected. And the reason he got elected is this kind of stuff. It's we send these people to Washington, D.C., and they can't pass a budget. They hurt the national defense. And it goes on and on and on and on. And that's why a couple of weeks ago when the president had his little meeting and on that Tuesday, and he said, look, the system we have now doesn't work very well. Look at how we govern. And we need to look at different ways. And if we need to bring earmarks back to pass legislation, then maybe we should do so. Maybe not in their old form so that the bridge to nowhere can be passed, but maybe in a different form so that a different process could be in place. But and I don't even think, and this is me talking, I don't even think Washington, D.C. really has come to grips with the extent of the anger that the nation feels towards Washington, D.C. I don't think they honestly have any, I don't think they honestly have any idea of that. So they'll play games, they'll point. But when you want an explanation for Donald Trump, it is the dissatisfaction that grows in the country from watching this kind of garbage, and we see it too often, right? The vast majority of the nation believes there needs to be additional security on our southern border. The vast majority of the nation believes that something ought to be done relative to Dreamers. So all this is being held up because this is just my analysis of it. The Democrats are trying to do something to break the momentum that the president has developed out of the tax thing. How do we do that? If he turns around and gets credit for solving DACA, that's not good for us. So we'll use this shutdown and we'll make DACA our issue so that when the story's written, we will be the party that forced him to deal with DACA, right, in spite of his willingness and everybody else's willingness to say, yeah, let's do it. So, to me, that's the gamesmanship that's being played here, is that if the president gets credit for solving that, that's a pretty big win for him. So, anyway, And so going into the 2018 election, if he has the economy's rolling and he solved DACA and maybe they do something about infrastructure, is that good or bad for the Democrats? Yeah, it's bad. So we play games. It's just pathetic. And again, both sides, in my opinion, are pathetic because the Republicans do the exact same stuff. And I will tell you what, it's just archaic bullshit in the Senate of this cloture nonsense that you need 60 votes. That is self-imposed. It wasn't an idea of the founding fathers that a small group would be able to hold up all the workings of the federal government. It's ridiculous. Maybe it worked in a bygone era. It does not work anymore. So, with that off my chest, United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. All week, this song is dedicated to the veterans of the Quezon campaign. So, well done, Devil Dogs, and our Navy counterparts. 50 years later, we continue to read about you, study what you did, study your courage, and what you endured. Semper Fidelis.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We'll check the weather around the, around Marineland. Clouds in 51 in Quantico. Clouds in 53 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny in 47 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds in 32 in Montana. So, pretty normal. California a little bit below normal. Not a little bit. 29 Palms, sunny in 38. Pendleton, sun in 35. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 63. That's pretty normal. And Marja, a little bit cooler than normal. Clear, dark, and 49 for the Marines of Task Force Southwest. At the home of All Marine Radio, right on the coast, sunny and 42 degrees. Yeah, the wind chill sitting at 40 degrees this morning. Winds are out of the east at 3. Looking for a high of 67 under sunny skies today. Tomorrow up to 75. Yeah, no kidding. And then on Wednesday, looking for a high of 73 with mostly sunny skies. Let us a look at your weather. We'll check news headlines coming up next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Carl Marlantis joins us in 38 minutes. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. The Boss. I wanna read your mind and know just what I've got in this new thing. A little bit of soothing guitar music on a Monday. A couple of national stories, non-Marine related, caught my eye. One is two IEDs detonated at a mall in Florida. A place called Lake Wales, Wales, Florida. Two improvised explosive devices went off at Lake Mall Ridge on Sunday night. Lake Wales fire crews responded to an alarm at the mall. While en route, the call was changed to a structure fire. When fire crews arrived at the location, they saw smoke coming from a corridor located next to the mall entrance of JCPenney's. Fire department located two pipe bomb devices they'd ignited in the corridor of the building. They also located a backpack in the same corridor with two other possible IEDs in it. No one was injured as a result of the explosion, but the ceiling and the corridor wall did sustain damage. The mall was evacuated. The Polk County Sheriff's Office, the State Fire Marshal, and the Hillsborough Sheriff's Bomb Squad all responded to assist. Police are looking for a person of interest that is described as middle-aged, white male, heavy build, wearing a gray shirt and a gray hat. How about that? So that's going on. The Senate's supposed to vote sometime today on something. So again, at some point it'll get fixed. And in the meantime, they will stand there and they will blame each other. But is anybody shocked that we're doing this? No. It's the game that we play. The media will cover it. The Democrats and Republicans will both blame each other, and as it goes, the business of the American people goes undone. Again, most basic to that is passing a budget. And as I said, in my opinion, the Senate is the most dysfunctional, broke organization in the state, in the nation. A few Marine headlines. Go to Marine Corps Times, which is pretty light in news. MARSOC's light strike vehicles have limited use in the age of IED. You see these vehicles, they're kind of dune buggy looking things, and they look really cool, right? The problem is when they hit an IED, it's not good. And I can tell you from personal experience, having medevac guys that were hit in them, and they weren't Americans either. They were Brits. They were either transiting our battle space or we were turning over battle space or something. And they have their own version of a dune buggy and a lot of bars, right, in it. And the poor soldier that was driving it, I mean, I want to say he died, as they tried to get him out of it. I mean, literally there's no protection to it. There was no protection to that. So, it looks really cool. Roll bars and all the rest of that crap. No doors. Looks like something out of World War II. Should have been either with Rommel or the Allies as they went into North Africa. But anyway, that's in the news today. But those soft-skin vehicle trucks have limited armor protections against improvised explosive devices, which continue to be a primary threat on many of the battlefields where Marines operate. I'm sure they use it a lot in non-combat advisory roles in Africa, one Marine told the Marine Corps Times on a condition of anonymity, referring to the vehicle fielded by Marine raiders. But the Marine said, getting a foot outside the wire in Iraq took an act of God, so tactical golf carts wouldn't cut it. And so what's behind that, quote, getting a foot out of the wire in Iraq took an act of God, so tactical golf carts wouldn't cut it. What's behind that is if you look at our current strategy and the one that's been employed to defeat ISIS, key in that strategy is protecting yourself, in that we don't have a string of casualties because the American public is sick of that. It is always our soft underbelly. And so I think quite rightly, the Department of Defense knows that and protects against it. And so allowing others to do the heavy lifting while we do the support stuff. And it's frustrating, I'm sure, for guys that are over there and they trained and they want a piece of it. Because whenever you train for stuff like that, I think it's only human nature. I want to go get tested. I want to see if I can measure up to the guys that I read about when I came into the Marine Corps. And so that's what's behind this. The other thing is, I've had a couple incidents with, two of them. One that involved the Brits and the other involved Americans that were using what kind of vehicle? They were using some kind of gator vehicle. It was some kind of ATV. Was not supposed to go outside the wire. But somebody said that it could because they were moving food and water and it was too heavy to carry, yada, 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 yada. Well, what do you think that thing hit? Lo and behold, hit an IED. And killed one Marine, severely wounded another Marine. And again, the survivability is zero. It's a heavier flat platform to function a pressure plate. So anyway, so what's interesting in terms of the equipment that gets used is raiders facing ID threats rely heavily on an Oshkosh MATV, a smaller, more agile version of the mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicle, or the MRAP. So anyway, all this is high-speed, hookie-roo stuff. You know, you can roll them on and off air platforms pretty easily. But again, as soon as somebody starts planting IEDs, they become non-functional because the survivability of them is not very good. So that's in the news this morning. Another story about communications. Marines want faster, better satellite communications. Got it. Maybe more secure satellite communications, too. I would add that to the list. Pence accuses Congress of playing politics with military pay. Whatever. Then there's an interesting little commentary piece, but the link to the piece is screwed up. So when you click on Marine Corps Times, it says commentary: troops shouldn't have to wait till they're 21 to drink. And I believe tomorrow, I'm not sure, I think tomorrow, it depends on an interview that I'm trying to line up relative to this case on. I believe, though, tomorrow you'll hear Secretary Mattis' speech that he gave at John Hopkins last week. There's also a funny little anecdote about that rolling around, and that is there's a picture of Secretary Mattis walking down the sidewalk with about four other people, and the anecdote goes that he was going to be late for the speech because of traffic. I don't know if he was up in Baltimore at John Hopkins giving it or it was in D.C. But anyway, it shows them hoofing it. And I guess they got there on time. So the SecDef said, we're not going to sit in this traffic and be late. And so they got out and hoofed it. Anyway, there's an article, a commentary, troops shouldn't have to wait till they're 21 to drink. But anyway, they've got the link screwed up. So if you're listening out there, Marine Corps Times, unscrew yourself. But it is beyond belief to me that you can ask, that someone can, be cognitively developed enough to commit their lives to the service of their nation that involves possibly being killed, and yet you're not cognitively developed enough to decide whether you can have a beer, whether you can have a beer and drink. I mean, have a beer and drive. That's beyond you. And I've had people come on radio programs I've hosted and make that case. Yep. Yeah. Their brains aren't cognitively developed enough to make those decisions. Then why do we allow them to make the decision without their parents' consent to join the military? Well, I don't know. So I would say this, and it doesn't need to involve the general population, but if you have a DOD ID card that says you're part of the active duty military or the reserve, you can drink when you're 21. You can drink when you're 18. All right. Yeah, I think most people would say, yeah, Mac, that's pretty much a no-brainer for all of us. So I'm curious to see what the commentary is. And I'm curious, because they link it to a picture of him, I'm curious to know that if he spoke about that at John Hopkins. Anyway, top five stories in the early bird. One is curious. China's top paper says U.S. is forcing China to accelerate South China Sea deployments. So let me get this right. You fortify an island. I conduct freedom of navigation operations around those islands. And that you do what lying communist countries do all the time, which is use that as a pretext for your next development. Ah, now I get it. China's top newspaper decrying Washington as a troublemaker. Yeah, as a troublemaker. On Monday, U.S. moves in the South China Sea, like last week's freedom of navigation operation, will only cause China to strengthen its deployments in the disputed waterway. deployments. You have a permanent presence, man. What do you mean your deployments? China's foreign ministry said the USS Hopper, the destroyer, came within 12 nautical miles. We recognize two, right? Of the Hunan Island, which is better known as the Scarborough Shoal, and is a subject to a rival claim by the Philippines, a historic ally of the United States. Right? We had the unmitigated gall to sail a ship within 12 miles of it. This is why the Obama administration, come on, man. It was the latest U.S. naval operation challenging extensive Chinese claims in the South China Sea. 900 miles southeast, south-southeast of Hong Kong. That's right, 900. The ruling Communist Party's official daily paper said in a commentary that the situation was generally improving in the South China Sea. It was clear that the United States was the one militarizing the region. Against the backdrop of peace and cooperation, a U.S. ship wantonly provoking trouble is single-minded to the point of recklessness. If the relevant party once more makes trouble out of nothing and causes tension, then it will only cause China to reach this conclusion. In order to earnestly protect peace in the South China Sea, China must strengthen and speed up the building of its abilities there. Awesome. Awesome. Anyway, so that's number one in the early bird. Dictatorships, man, they suck. But know this, at some point, the Chinese communist dictatorship, they will get thrown out on their asses, okay? And at some point in Russia, that will happen too. And at some point in Iran, that will happen too. And what assures that is the age of digital communication, because they can't stop it. They can't stop it. Article in Navy Times entitled, How Homicide Charges for Two Skippers Will Shake Up the Entire Navy. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday with former Marine SJA, Beth Harvey. So we'll talk to Beth about this, about historical examples of it. What is the process? What is the burden of proof that has to be achieved in order to convict them? Total of four officers, I think three from the Fitzgerald and one from the McCain. The commanding officer of the McCain, the commanding officer of the Fitzgerald, and the officer of the deck, and one of the junior officers of the deck are both charged in these more serious charges. Number three, in the Associated Press story about Mike Pence, he's throwing the military card at Congress like they give a shit, right? Oh, geez, the military, we're going to screw with them. Again, I quote General Mattis, no foreign government has been able to do the damage that the United States Congress has done to the Department of Defense through sequestration. And they don't care about it. It's politics. It's politics. Fourth story, Trump's go-to guy at the VA faces first major opposition from Republicans on Capitol Hill. VA Secretary David Shulkin has been arguably the most successful of Trump's cabinet appointees, and frequent praise from lawmakers and veterans groups. However, now he's going to face his first fight. Listen to this. It was a jarring moment this week, meaning last week, at a routine Senate Veteran Affairs Committee hearing when a Republican senator called him a habitual liar. Quote, I think you tell me one thing and you tell others something else, said Senator Jerry Moran, a Republican from Kansas, adding that he blamed, quote, your ability to speak out of both sides of your mouth, double talk for recent disagreements on veterans policy in this chamber. Quote, that's incompatible with our ability to reach agreements and work together. I intend to be a member of Congress who holds you accountable for what you tell me. The moment caught Shulkin and several members of the audience off guard, but not other panel members. Several offered their own complaints about unfulfilled promises in recent months. The committee also took the unusual step of swearing in Shulkin as a witness, a move that seemed unimportant at the time but loomed large after Moran's accusation. So, wow, that merits a little bit of scrutiny. The another story that comes, I should have read this, in conjunction with the editorial about the Chinese. But the Philippines say that they won't be embroiled in the U.S. South China Sea spat. This is out of Manila, in the Stars and Stripes. Presidential spokesman Harry Roque, R-O-Q-U-E, from the Philippines, said, quote, "The United States can take care of its own interests," and added, "We do not wish to be part of the U.S.-China intramural in the South China Sea." Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte has revived once frosty relations with China since taking over in 2016 and is an often critic of U.S. policies. Let me see if there's any other quotes in here. "We have no say," Philippine Defense Secretary Delphine Lorenzana said. The U.S. Manila's treaty ally did not notify the Philippines of its naval operation near Scarborough, the shoals. Quote, "We have no say in whatever the Americans do in the South China Sea. They do not inform us beforehand of their activities." Asked if the passage of the U.S. warship in Philippine claimed water was a concern, quote, "No. For as long as they are on innocent passage, international law allows innocent passage even in territorial water." Yeah, somebody send that memo to the Chinese. All right, so those are the top five. There's a couple other stories that are important that you get kind of up to snuff with. One, Turkish jets bombard Kurdish-run city of Afrin in Syria. The Turks have long been saber-rattling. They've crossed the line of departure, and now they're evidently not only conducting aviation operations against Kurds in the Kurdish-controlled areas of Syria, there's been headlines that say that they've crossed the border with ground combat troops as well. So put that in your little list of things to track. Afghan hotel siege. Taliban evidently laid siege to an Afghan hotel, held it for 13 hours. Evidently, there's close to 40 people dead. Other interesting article is in Stars and Stripes, Iran's supreme leader has ordered the Revolutionary Guards to loosen its hold on the economy, the country's defense minister says, raising the possibility that the paramilitary organization might privatize some of its vast holdings. So pretty interesting. We saw that unrest in Iran is not going away. So the question is, what happens? Or will we see it again sometime soon? So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. I want to play a little bit more of that Quezon audio. So on a Carmen Marlana is going to join us in about 10 minutes. More of Almarine Radio coming up next on your home for it here on a Monday.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com. I'm an